it with baptizing. I want to get you guys out of here by 1:30 or 2, so we'll get moving right away. What? We're today starting week 3 of a 5-week series about how there is, and we'll just go right to the slides. We have our first slide. If you're a guest or maybe weren't here, it's a series called Twisted, about how the world twists truth. And even for you and I, whether you're a Christian or you're still seeking, haven't made that decision, they're very much, Jesus knew and believed that the devil is real, has a personality, is an entity. His ultimate agenda is the destruction and death of human life. And the way for him to make this happen is to twist truth. He wants you to go to hell, not heaven. And even if you consider yourself a Christian and you're put your faith in Jesus, he wants you to not be effective, not be in church, get offended, have bad attitudes, not serve. He does all kinds of things to twist the truth and to get us off track. And his ultimate goal, when he's doing a great job in the world, is making the world have a misperception and an inappropriate and incorrect view about God, about Jesus Christ, who he was and is, about his coming back, about the church, about what church is all about. He does that, and that's his way to cause death and destruction. Last week, Pastor Bill gave a great message about how we, you and I, are all inherently rebellious and sinful, and how the enemy wants us to focus on the what, which is really anything other than on the who, which is Jesus. He wants us focused on ourselves and our pleasures and our life and stuff and other people instead of us, and blaming and making excuses. And the enemy will do whatever he can to get us off track, to keep us off track, and most importantly, to keep you from Jesus. Well, today, week 3, it's called Facing Forward, because we're going to talk about facing forward today. We're going to talk about how we as believers who have put our faith and are living for Jesus should live. And it's a reminder to ourselves of what life's about, what's happened, what's going on, and what's going to happen. And it's good, very good. Who here loves and knows the verse in the Bible, in the chapter of Romans, Romans 8:28? You guys love that verse? I mean, what does that verse say? That all things work together for good if you love God and are called according to his purpose. So who doesn't love that all things work together for good? Because let's be honest, a lot of times life doesn't feel very good, does it? Stuff happens. Sin happens. Broken relationships and accidents, and there's disease, and there's all kinds of bad things. So to think the fact that God works all things together for good is very comforting. If you were here last week, Pastor Bill also preached about how we can't take Scripture out of context. And so today we're going to go over a few verses in Romans 8 leading up to Romans 8:28 to remind us of that. Today is very rich. There's lots of stuff in here. If you're here today and you consider yourself and you've made the decision to follow Jesus, you're a Christian, which also means you're a disciple of Jesus. That's what it means. You're a follower of Jesus. And the word disciple actually means a learner. And so this is where I do this every few months. I encourage you and remind you and try to guilt you into taking notes during the sermons. Dun, 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 dun. If you have a bulletin, there's a section for notes. There's pens all around you. It's good to take notes, because how many remember all the stuff from the sermon last week from Pastor Bill? I don't at all, but I did take notes, and so I have those notes. And so it's good to be a learner. It's good to retain all of this stuff. So what we're going to talk about today is the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans. He's going to take us through three basic contexts for suffering in this life. And what suffering means. There's three big connect the dots, if you will. There's in the beginning, number one. Number two is in the meantime. And number three is in the end. So in the beginning was the very beginning of life, of the universe, of the garden. And then right now where we're living is in the meantime. And one day there'll be an in the end. We're all going to die unless Jesus comes back first. And we're going to talk about what this means to life. So we're going to start with number one, which is in the beginning. If you have your Bibles or whatever device you might use open, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 18, and we're going to start from there, going up to all things work together for good. So here we go. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings of this present time aren't anything compared to what we have in store. Now, if you're here today and you're like, well, I don't really ever suffer, I don't mean suffering like, you know, you're getting martyred or, you know, put in jail for your faith, stuff like that. But guys, understand that salvation is free. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough to get it. But at the same time, it means you give your heart and life to Jesus, and that's really always going to cost us something. Your faith and my faith should be costing us something. Obedience sometimes is costly. It can cost a relationship. It's obedient to tithe. It can cost us our comfort, because sometimes in this day and age, it's not real popular or comfortable to really stand for biblical principles. It's tough to forgive people sometimes. It's tough to do the right thing. God knows this. But following Jesus, and sometimes it's going to mean, and the Bible says we will suffer with him so that we get the glory that comes and is coming one day. 8:18, we should be suffering. Paul, who wrote this, he knew suffering. I mean, the guy went through all kinds of stuff just for being a Christian, and so he understood suffering. Verse 19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation, all the world eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Oh, church, we have no idea how great eternity is going to be. How great heaven is going to be when things are finally made right. We can't wrap our minds around it. It's beyond our comprehension. And if we're following Jesus and have put our faith in him, we will get to experience that. And so what Paul begins to do, starting with the next verse, verse 20, is Paul begins to connect the dots of in the beginning, in the meantime, and in the end. And so in verse 20, he kind of goes back to the beginning. Are you ready? Here we go. He says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope." So, in the beginning, sin entered the world. We know that when God created, what are there, 100 billion galaxies, and he created all the universe, he created life on earth, he made Adam and Eve, true story. And what happened was, they chose sin. And immediately what happened was, the world got judged. The world became cursed. The world fell. The whole world. And so you hear that, you're probably like, hey, I wasn't there, no fair. It just is. The world is judged, the world is cursed. All creation, all relationships, all of the globe, all the earth, everything is cursed. When sin entered, death followed. The world is cursed. This is very uplifting, right? We're going to get there. The world is cursed. It's good. It's all right. It just is. Verse 21, "Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Will be, as in the future. Because right now, there's corruption and there's decay. I want to let you in on something, guys. The body that you're in, your soul, your spirit, who you really are, your body, it's done for. You're going to die. Unless Jesus returns first. You're going to. And so you want to know why your back hurts in the morning, or your knee, or your foot, or whatever it is, if say you're over 40, or like in my case, if you're 38, because it just does. It's because we're subject to these bodies decaying, because the world is fallen. Can we turn the fans down quite a bit? That's making some noise there. Thank you. Why is there cancer? Why are there car accidents? Why are there tornadoes? Why is there hurt and disease and separation? And God's like, because we're in bondage, you're in bondage to this fallen world. And see, this is a viewpoint we have to get, church, that this world is not our home. This life is not about right now. And that's something we have to understand. When sin entered, death followed. And sometimes you wonder with, like, you know, you've asked the question probably. Some of you might be right now, God, why did this happen? Why did this accident happen? Why did this person get cancer? Why is there death? Why does my back hurt so bad in the morning? Why does my knee hurt? Why do I get headaches? And God's answer to you is, because you were born. That's why. Seriously. Like probably three times a year, maybe a couple times a year, I actually try to take like a nap on Sunday afternoon. It doesn't normally happen. It definitely won't today. But why is it that on those times, inevitably without fail, as soon as I get comfortable, I get, Dad, sister pulled my hair. Dad, I'm hungry. Dad, she's being mean. Because the kids, they just can't help it. It's just the way the world is. Husbands, why do your wives gripe and nag at you? They can't help it. It's just the way it is. Wives, why are your husbands so insensitive? Why do they say that, do that, not think about that? We can't help it. It's just the way it is. Seriously. Now, don't read into this that I'm saying a laissez-faire, well, yeah, see, we're just sinners and we're rude and that's just how we are. That is how we are in these bodies, but there's what we'll talk about shortly, which is Jesus Christ and change. But a lot of this is just kind of, unfortunately, how it is, because sin entered and things are broken. Verse 22. "For we know," again, the whole creation eagerly awaits, and it says that we groan with birth pangs together until now. So guys, you know what? It's not just you that has problems in your marriage. It's not just you. Your kids act like maniacs at the restaurant. It's not just you Maybe you have an adult child who isn't following the Lord and you taught them different and better than that. Maybe you have a spouse. Maybe it's something at your job. Maybe it's a physical ailment, what it is. Things go wrong. It just is. It's okay. It's not just you, I promise. It's not. This is why we cry. This is why we hurt and suffer, is because this world is broken. It's why if we know Jesus, if you are a Christian, you put your faith in him and he's revealed and you understand what's coming, you long for his return, don't you? You just long for it. If you're a Christian, you should want him to come back right now, because this world is broken. You're broken. I'm broken. The redemption doesn't happen until he comes back. It hasn't happened yet. But we know that it's coming. You and I were just born broken into a cursed world. Hip, hip, hooray. Yay. Everybody feel good now? But we need to understand this, church, because this is very, very, very important. This is what happened in the beginning. Seriously. So now that we've talked about the beginning, let's talk about the meantime. Because let's be honest, what do you guys care about? You care about the meantime. You care about right now. You want life to be better. You want more peace. You want things to, you want hope. You want to know what you can be happy about, etc. In the meantime, right now, verse 23. Not only that, stuff we've talked about, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. See, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I know I'm going to heaven. That doesn't mean I'm perfect or have it all together right now, but I know it means that one day I will get to be just like him.
Hallelujah.
Amen. One day it'll all be okay. I won't have to struggle against sin. I won't hurt. I won't lose loved ones. I won't have broken relationships. Things will be made right. And we eagerly, eagerly, eagerly await for that. Unless we're just cruising along, living life. That's not what God intended for us. The redemption of our bodies. The redemption is what we're looking for. That's why we're baptizing today. We're being baptized into Jesus Christ, baptized into the resurrection, into new life, into the fact that one day there'll be no more decay. These bodies are done for. But only because of Jesus Christ do we know that will happen. And we know that right now, when you trusted Jesus as Savior, you got what? As it talks about the Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. And for some of you, that meant right away, or at least it looks like there's no more struggle, and you gave up the cigarettes, you gave up if you had problems with alcohol or sexual struggles or bad attitudes or whatever. I could go on all day with a laundry list of what we're all a mess about. And to some people, it's like that just happened, and praise God, that's just how it is. But some of you here today, you're like, I put my faith in Christ, and I'm baptized, and maybe I need to like pray that prayer again because I still struggle. It's okay. You do struggle. We all do. I'm not saying it's okay to just live in sin or anything, but you struggle. And we fall short because things aren't right yet. Things aren't right yet. Now, our path in this life, the abundance, some of that is largely determined by our choices. You put your faith in Christ. Are you reading his word? Are you part of church? Are you having good, healthy relationships? Are you plugged into the word? Are you praying? Are you denying yourself and dying to yourself every day like Jesus said? Because it's tough. Jesus didn't say you do it once, you come to the altar, and your life's golden. He said you have to die to yourself every single day. Amen. Every single day is what we have to do, because we're in these bodies that are sinful. But when you became a Christian, you got the Holy Spirit, which was kind of like, what if I told you that if you were here today, that if you wanted to buy a home, the church would make a down payment for you on the home of your choice? Would you be like, yeah, I know why so many people come to church here. That's great. Well, that's not going to happen, first of all. But let me use that example, because you getting saved, you getting the Holy Spirit, putting your faith in Jesus Christ, was like God made a down payment for you. He saved your soul immediately, but not your body. See, this is why we take notes. This is deep. He saved your soul, but not your body. Huh? See, what? Jesus, what happens is, when you get saved and put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you get baptized, Jesus begins, via the Holy Spirit, to begin to do a work in you. A sanctification, which is a big church word, but it's a process of changing your heart, changing and renewing your mind, changing the way you think, making inside of you a new creation, a new person, a new heart, a new work. But he's like, I'm still not going to do anything about your body. Because these bodies are under decay and under the curse, because the world is fallen. That's just kind of the deal. In the beginning, sin entered the world. It just did, and that means that we're under the curse, and we will continue to feel the effects of sin in the world and even in our lives. Now, we're in this series called Twisted Truth and about lies, and I want to now address, in the midst of these verses, one of the biggest lies I hear all the time is that if God was really loving and good and real, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, let's talk about that. I want to let you in on something. I'm not good, and neither are you. The Bible said, even Jesus said, one is good, and that's God who is perfect. I'm not saying that we're not good people, like we're, you know, horrible in how we live, but we're not good. We're sinful. We're in this fallen world. God is good. So do bad things happen to good people? What do you mean by good people? This world is under the curse. And so God is good. Why is the world so messed up? Why, if there's a God, is there cancer and disease and accidents and AIDS and all kinds of bad stuff? Because the world's broken. The world's fallen. The world's under the curse. And I want you to get this morning. I want you to really get this. Why is the world messed up? Why is it broken? Why do bad things happen? Why do we struggle, even as Christians, with sin? Why is that the deal? Let me tell you why. It's not God's fault. It's sin's fault. Get that. You should hate sin. You probably have sin, but you should hate it. You should struggle against it. You should try to get rid of it in your life with God's help. It's sin's fault the world is broken. It's not God's fault. Adam and Eve sinned. You and I have sinned. We struggle with it. It's not God's fault. That's a lie. But if God is good, why is the world so messed up? Because it just is. But it won't always be, praise God. And you and I don't have to always be, even though we will struggle. 8:24. 8:24 says, "For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why do you hope for what you don't or what you already see?" Exactly. "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." What do we wait for? For Jesus to come back and get his church, to go to heaven, to have things be made right. That one day you, me, loved ones gone that knew Jesus will have eternal life, will have resurrection, will be perfect. We won't have to struggle with this stuff anymore. No more pain and separation and hurt and tears and all that stuff. But in the meantime, we do, as Christians, have the Holy Spirit. Back to verse 25. It says, "We eagerly wait for it with perseverance." This is a big struggle I see with Christians. We don't have perseverance. We're wishy-washy. Our faith's great one day and not the next. It's great if I'm with these people, but not these people. It's good for through the weekend at church, but not for with the guys on the weekend. Our faith is like compartmentalized. Or something happens. The Bible says we make a mess of life and we blame God. We should blame sin. Oftentimes our own sin. But it says we have to have perseverance. It says we have to have perseverance. Why is that? Because healing doesn't always come. Because we've talked about natural disasters, because miscarriages happen, because there's car accidents, because this world's a mess. But guys, this world isn't our home. It's not. That's a lie. This just isn't it. This body, if you're lucky, you might get 90, 95 years. This isn't it. It's not our home. We wait for it patiently, with perseverance. Jesus finally coming back and making things right. We face forward. We lean forward for it. Because it's coming. Verse 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses." You're not alone. Do you know that? Even though you're weak and I'm weak. You're weak. Say it with me. Say, "I'm weak."
I'm weak.
Say it again. "I'm weak." Right. And the Bible says that His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. In my life, in past times, I have tried to be good enough, do good enough, really have it together. My own strength and power never, ever, ever will get me anywhere but failure, and neither will yours. It's Him. It's a surrender to Him. It's His Holy Spirit. It's living life for Him. You say, "I'm weak." Guess what, guys? That's normal. Maybe you're struggling. That's normal. You feel like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. That's normal. You're like, "I'm not really doing that great." It's normal. It is. God predicted it. Paul, 2,000 years ago, none of you have ever met Paul. He predicted, and he's like, you're going to struggle. He said, some days are going to be rough. Some seasons are going to be rough. Don't make the mistake, though, of being short-sighted. Don't make the mistake of giving up. Don't. In this world, there's going to be divorce. There's going to be hurt and heartache and bad things that are not God's will. There's going to be death. There's going to be all kinds of things like this. But don't be discouraged. Don't give up. You do live in a judged world, but because of Jesus Christ, you can overcome it and be set free. You're a sinner. There's nothing. You know what? You just are. And God understands that and made a way with Jesus. He's like, you're going to struggle. But because of Jesus, you can be made right. You can't ever be perfect. You can't ever do anything about your sin, anything to get a perfect God to forgive you and look at you the right way, except say yes to Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And don't buy the lie that, well, then I'll have to be perfect and all these things must look this way. No, you have to say, yes, Jesus, I repent of my sins and I'll follow you. I'll do my best. Help me. That's all you have to do. It's a lie to think it's anything else. Take your eyes off the here and now. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't come to church and look at everybody and think they have really got it going on. I don't know. Do they? I hope so. I hope we're following Jesus and living His way. But you need to know it's okay to struggle. It's okay. The Bible says a righteous person will fall down, but they'll get back up. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. The next part of that. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered. Sometimes it's like just the same sin again. It's that same person again. You're like, God, this is like the 50th time I've asked for forgiveness for this. If you're serious, He'll forgive you. If you're serious, the Holy Spirit knows your needs. And sometimes what we happen in struggles in life, whether it's sin or stuff has just happened, this is going to sound condescending, but it's just as applicable to me as it is to you. That sometimes we're so worried and trying to connect the dots and have to make sense of everything, and it has to work for us in this itty-bitty life that you live. God's like, what are you doing? I've got you. I see the eternal picture. You see the here and now. You see just how you feel. God knows you're so weak. You're so fallible. You're so imperfect. And Jesus knows that and loves you anyway. And He wants to pick you up from that and take you on this journey, the only journey that will last and never end. He knows what you need. He knows you just like you are and loves you just like you are. And God wants you to know, just stop with all the struggle. It's okay to struggle. I understand it, and I care about your struggle so much that I sent my Son to die for you. That's the deal. God understands. He knows. He loves you. But remember that heaven is your home, not this world and not this life. In the beginning, the world was judged and just messed up. And your bodies, you're done for. In the meantime, we can still have victory. We can still have hope and peace. We can still be okay as long as we're living this life with Jesus Christ. In the beginning, sin entered. In the meantime, He's for you. And our third and final point today, which is in the end. In the end. And here we're finally about to get to the good stuff. 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Dan, we're going to close in just a moment. Guys, it just said that God knows your heart. And you've really got to ask yourself today, does my heart belong to Christ? Really? You might be a mess. You might be struggling with stuff. Things might be going on in your life. That'll all be okay. Who's your heart belong to? Have you just accepted a free gift of eternal life and of forgiveness? Why would you say no to that and not accept that? Because here's the deal. God works all things together for good if you love Him. And being called according to His purpose means you've put your faith and your life and your hope in Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. Paul's saying this is a big, huge, eternal plan. Guys, get off of... Right now, this life, it just can be hard at times. It's not meant to satisfy because the world's broke. And you and I are broke. But know that in your pain, God works. And in your suffering, God's at work. And in your joy, God's at work. And in the seasons of your life, God's at work. Even in death, God is at work. In all things, He's working. So today, maybe you're like, wow, I can be called, I can be redeemed, I can look forward and have good life even in my joys and struggles, and maybe life is such that it has to change because it stinks. Jesus is the way to change that. Maybe you're here today, you just need to pray for someone. Maybe you need to give your heart back to the Lord, which really means you know you've gotten away. And listen. It happens. It's okay that it happens, but it's not okay that you don't do anything about it. Because Jesus is waiting to forgive you. He's waiting to pick you up. He's waiting to be the Lord of your life again. Paul goes on to write here at 8:31 and 32, "What shall we say? If God's for us, who can be against us?" I know you've heard that verse a lot, and you're like, yeah. You understand, God is for you when you're in Jesus Christ, His Son. When you've said yes to Jesus, the God of all universe, the God of all creation, the God of life, the God of death, He's for you. How do we know that? Because He didn't spare His own Son, but He gave Him to die for you and I. And in the end, as Christians, we get heaven and we get eternity. We got to stop living in the right now and really be free to live. It's a lie and a twisted truth that anything else will satisfy. You want to keep living for pleasure and self and stuff right now? Go on ahead. Because a short time, when you live for yourself, guys, listen, a short time on this cursed, broken, judged earth is all you'll get. I'll take Jesus. I'll take heaven. I'll take eternity. And you can have that today if you don't already. These bodies are done for. We're all going to die. This life is but for a moment here and then gone. But because of Jesus, we know that all things can work together for good. And we get heaven, we get eternity. Would you stand today as we prepare to sing? Bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you if this earthly body you have will allow you to come to this altar and pray in just a moment. If you need to pray for yourself, if you need to say yes to forgiveness, if you need to ask Jesus into your life so you can begin a life that you never thought you could ever have, it's the most glorious thing on this earth. Maybe you've gotten away. Maybe you need to pray for someone. Maybe you're just struggling today and you're just so tired of it. Maybe you feel like giving up. There is hope. There is good in Jesus Christ. Bow your heads today. Heavenly Father, we want to come to you this day in Jesus' name. And as we prepare to see, Lord, the new birth of baptism, I believe there are some here today, their heart, Lord, they just need some healing. They need some peace. They need you. We all need you. We're all a mess. It's okay to struggle, but it's not okay to turn to you and accept your grace. Lord, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son to shed his blood, to become a man, to die on that cross, that we might have life. And Lord, I just pray there, because I know there are some here today that are missing life, and you're working on them right now, Lord. May they let go of that chair and come and pray. They'll never be sorry that they did. And Lord, at the end of this day, at the end of this life, which none of us know when that is, the only thing that will matter is you. People, the world can have itself. Lord Jesus, just give me you. I love you, and we love you. And would you work in our hearts now? Amen.